this morning even, some of you are going to find this message, it's going to strip flesh off your bones. I'm going to tell you ahead of time. But if you will listen and grab hold of these messages and let it strip flesh off, you will come out a better person, more prosperous, more healthy in every area of your life. See, I got into a frame of mind that I've always tried to avoid. And so I have people that I seek counsel from. You seek it from me and from others. You know, I'm your pastor, so you seek it from me, a lot of you. Some of you don't. You just go and do what you want. But anyhow, I have people that I go to. And if I'm having challenges or things that I feel like I'm missing a solution or I'm missing a step, then I will lay out to them these particular people. In this case, it was Gary Carpenter. You know, and you all have met Gary. He's been up here before. And I appreciate Gary a lot and respect him a lot. He says a lot of good things about me, but I tell you what, Gary has came and moved faster into the things of the kingdom than anyone I believe I've ever met, as far as the speed at which God has changed his life and what he's able to give out to others, not just changed his life, but how God has been able to use him. And so I began this past weekend, I began to lay out things to him, you know, some of the things that I felt like were a problem. I felt like maybe I was missing it somewhere. And to be quite honest, this is the only way I know to put it. He ripped me apart. He just ripped me apart. And now you say, well, how did you feel about that? I felt good. You say, well, you must be a brute for punishment. No, it's just this. I take the same attitude that I want to get across to you. If you need correction, take the correction. If these messages, if one part of it fits your life, take it. If one part of it doesn't fit your life and that part's okay, fine. Don't be offended just because I preach it and it doesn't fit you and it's fitting 10 other people in this congregation. But if it fits you, take it. Don't miss the opportunity to have something changed in your life. Well, now, it wasn't anything major as far as major doctrine that he was ripping me apart about. It's just that he knew what I knew. He knew what I knew and what I have known and what I've preached and what I've lived by, but yet because of the enemy throwing up smoke screens and so forth, he knew that I was being blinded by some things and he just ripped me apart. In fact, the last part that he talked about, he said, I received this tape recently and was listening to it by this preacher that I know up in Kansas that delivered this message that maturity is hard. So, you know, it's bad that they rip you apart, but when they start taking your own messages and carving away on you, does it feel good? No, not at all. Do I like it? No, my flesh doesn't. Spiritually, I love it. Because I know it brings me back to reality that I already know and that the enemy is trying to take me away from. And we're going to cover some of that tonight. But just remember this. You're not the only one at times that gets carved apart. See? If we all want to grow in God, we'll all submit ourselves to someone that has truth in God that we can be corrected. And this message this morning, I guarantee it's going to fit everyone in here one way, shape, or form. I'm not even sure I can get it all in this morning. That's why we cut the announcements, stuff like that short. Is because I wanted to try to get in as much as possible of this message. But folks, don't run off offended. Take these things that you, if you don't like it, let me give you this. If you don't like part of this message or part of any message, stand back and take a look at your life in that area. Because probably there's a clue there. If your flesh doesn't like it, then you probably got something to change in that area. That's the way I do it, and I'm just telling you how I do it. Well, he ripped me apart. So, you know, you're not the only ones at times that get ripped apart, but it's a good thing because out on the other side is a better person, a more solid person that the devil can do less with. See, you can either be done with by God or done with by the devil. In other words, you can be used by God or used by the devil. It's not going to be no in between. It's just like when you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's not going to be no in-between. Don't think that you can ride the fence in-between now and end up going to a place that's in-between. Undecided. I'll be the undecided vote. No, there is no undecided vote. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Well, right now you can either be used here on the earth by the devil or by God. There is no in-between. If you're not being used by God, then what does that settle the issue? It must be. Well, no, I'm not used by the devil. I'm just used by my flesh. What do you think the devil uses? A good opening. You guys like my clothes? Well, I thought I'd get... Raphael, do you think I have good choice in clothes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raphael's my clothing consultant. And 3 John. I'm just going to read this in verse 2. We all know it. I think we're going to be looking at things a little differently when we get done today. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. He didn't say some things. He didn't say a little bit of things. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Prosper means to gain. Prosper means to be in well-being. It means to be in, let's just say, in perfection. That you may prosper, that you may be gaining in all things and be in health. So he said that you may prosper in all things, meaning this, it wasn't just money. Peace, salvation, spiritual growth, the Holy Spirit, your inheritance. That you may prosper in all things and be in health. You know, it's not, you know, miracles are, you know, this is coming from what is considered by most as a healing evangelist operating in miracles and so forth. Miracles are not God's best. It's wonderful that we have them. We should have them. If we don't have them, something is wrong. But it's not His best. And this verse settled that. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. In other words, that you have a healthy walk, that Satan not prosper against you in your body in any way, shape, or form, that you be in health, that you walk upright in health, just as your soul prospers. All right, very important part, and we know that. But let's come back to that a little bit later. Just keep things there. Now, we'll go to Matthew 6 here in just a little bit if you want to turn. But now you need to keep that there because we'll come back to it. Folks, let me ask you something. What do you have to do to get healed? Have you thought about it? What do you have to do to get healed? Do you have to do 10 push-ups to get healed? What do you have to do to get healed? Do you have to confess a verse 10 times? 68 times and a half? What do you have to do to get healed? You say, well, you know, you kind of do teach it that you do have to confess to get healed. Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But really, what does the Word say about what you have to do to be healed, to be in health? Just believe. That's all. You just believe. By His stripes, you're healed. All you have to do to be healed is not confess a certain amount of times, not do 10 push-ups. All you have to do is just believe. It's by His grace. Grace means this. Grace means it's a free gift. Grace means you can't do anything to earn it. There's nothing that you can do in this world or hereafter. There's nothing you can do to earn this. It's already been earned for you and given to you as a free gift. That's grace. Now let's establish this, first of all, what grace is. It's by His grace that you're healed. And you can't do anything to earn that. It's a free gift. By His stripes you were already healed. Salvation is a free gift. It's by His grace. Without His grace you couldn't have been saved. It's by His grace that He delivered to the church that we're saved, that we can have salvation. It's a free gift. Well, whenever it comes to prosperity, and when it comes to finances and things like that, and material things, and prosperity, we all have this different thing. We think that we got to do this or that in order to prosper. Some think, well, if you don't tithe, you're not going to prosper. You're not tithing in this church, so you're not going to prosper. Well, why is it then? Why is it then that all these other things come by grace, and grace is a free gift, and we understand, yes, all I have to do is believe He healed my body, He provided a miracle against diabetes, you know? It's a free gift, glory to God, Jesus gave me this healing, and He saved me. There wasn't anything I could do to save myself, He saved me. It's a free gift. But now when it comes to finances, it's a different deal. And some, you know, it's not tithing, it's sowing and reaping. I have to sow this or I have to sow that. If I don't sow these suits or these clothes into somebody's life, I'm not going to get blessed with suits myself. I have to do something to earn this prosperity. Really? Instead of going to where I said in Matthew 6, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I think that's where I want to go. Yes. So when it comes to prosperity, we all think in one form or fashion, because we've had false teaching, by the way. We didn't just accidentally happen upon a mindset of, well, I've got to tithe to prosper. I've got to give. I've got to sow in order to reap. We just didn't happen up on that mindset. It didn't just slip in there accidentally, you understand. It had to have an origin. It had to get there somehow through some vehicle. What was it? False teaching. All right, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, this is what it says about prosperity. This is what His Word says about prosperity. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that if you don't tithe, you ain't going to be rich. Your Bible doesn't say that? Well, that's what you've been taught. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that if you don't sow, you're not going to reap anything. Is that what your Bible says? Is my Bible the only one that says that? Oh, maybe I'm reading it. Maybe I was getting confused with reading the Bible and thinking about what we've been taught. Maybe that's what it is. Well, maybe I should go back and read it word for word. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty, that He took up on from you, that you would not have to exist in that poverty, just like in health, Him taking up on His body infirmities and sickness and bondage, that you wouldn't have to suffer sickness, infirmity, and bondage. He took it on. Well, He took up on Himself this poverty, that you through His poverty might become rich. I do not see anything in there about tithing. If you don't tithe, you're going to be under a curse. And if you do tithe, then you're going to be out from under the curse. I don't see nothing about that. And I don't see anything in there about sowing and reaping in that verse. I fail to see anything about it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I am ready for this message. When you've been rebuked, and you've even had to spend the weekend teaching your wife out of some of it, you're ready. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Now this is what He says about material things. He covers in here clothes, nice clothes. He covers in here food, plenty to eat. He covers in here cars. He covers in here a place to live. He covers all of it in Matthew 6. Every bit of it. There's not one thing you can think of that he doesn't cover in Matthew 6. Now let's see what he says when he ends up talking about these things that you're going to have in your life or that you need. What we shall drink, what we shall eat, what we shall wear. It says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. Now what is his kingdom? His kingdom is souls. His kingdom is prayer. His kingdom is the Holy Spirit. His kingdom is an inheritance that you've been given. His kingdom is health. His kingdom is worship. His kingdom is confession. His kingdom is meditation. His kingdom is fasting. It's anything that has to do with principles in the Word of God and the results thereof. Those principles. Souls increase in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. What am I going to seek first? Souls, prayer, fasting, worship, meditation, things that end up in the result of souls. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All right, let's stop there for just a moment. His righteousness, meaning this, seek first the kingdom of God and His, put it this way, His right standing. Meaning you in the kingdom of God, your right standing within that kingdom. You, individually. Your right standing. Your place. Your spot. Your trip. Your road. Your standing. Where do you stand in the kingdom of God? What is the part, Marge, that you have to play in the kingdom of God? His right standing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His right standing within this kingdom. And all of these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't say seek first tithing. Seek first sowing and reaping. Although, I'm going to pull it in here. Don't think you let off the hook. Tithing, sowing, giving is all part of seeking first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His right standing, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The things that we talked about. Clothing, food, houses, cars, whatever your need is. Whatever it is you need in order to fulfill the right standing in the kingdom of God. Well, let me tell you something. You know, God doesn't intend for you to sleep out under a bridge under the stars every night. Now, if He did, fine, but I would probably question you real heavy and try to find out there's some holes in your doctrine if you told me that. Now, if you had to face a hardship or two in order to get the gospel across to somebody temporarily for a moment, you know, if I knew that God told me to go to Baghdad and make sure that a certain person there got saved, and I had to sleep out under the stars in the desert a night or two in order to make the trip and get there, that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about all these other things that for you to have a life that enables you to be healthy and to prosper in order that you can get out the gospel and fit in your place in the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. What things? Food. Clothing. I mean, look at what he says about clothing.
You think that he wants me wearing ragtag?
No, not necessarily. You know, if that's what you feel you want to wear, you know, I don't, you know, I'll wear a tie every now and then, but I'm free from that deal. We used to compete and see who could buy the most expensive and nicest tie. I'm free. Thank God I'm free forevermore. Why be in bondage to a strip of cloth around your neck? I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with ties, you know, and I'll still wear one every now and then, but not to the extent. I'm not going to take it to the extent that I once did. No. Glenn's got on a nice tie this morning. I like his tie. But I'm not in bondage to that anymore. But look, I do like to dress nice for my Father's work. Now look at this. It says in verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Well, I know what lilies look like. I've planted a lot of them. I love those lilies that you use to plant around and watch bunches of them grow up through the summer. I love plants. I love gardening. I love flowers. I don't have a limp wrist. I'm a man. I'm a strong man. I don't have a limp wrist. But I love flowers. I love growing roses for my wife. I love being able to look at them in the yard. I like how God uses them to make the yard look good. It says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They neither sow nor reap. They neither tithe. They neither get into any kind of work. And yet I say to you, in verse 29, that even Solomon, the man with all the gold and all the silver and all the diamonds and all the emeralds, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He wants you to look good. What we deem looking good here in this society may not be the same as it is in India or Peru or somewhere else. I mean, when they think they look good in Peru, usually unless you run into a religious bunch that have conformed to the religious society in America, you know, unless you do that, for the most part, they like these colorful things up on them. They think they look good in those. That's what's in that culture. That's what's in that society of looking good. Unless you run into a real spiritual bunch. You know, then it's the ties and the suits and, you know, the right amens and stuff like that. Just like it is here. So why do we think that when it comes to prosperity, it's a different deal? The Bible goes out the window. All the principles go out the window. It's a different bird than that salvation. It's a different item than that healing. It's a different item than the peace of God. By His grace, we were given peace because Jesus said, I am peace. I've overcome the world. Therefore, you have peace in me because I overcome the world. Free gift. Once again, turning around and giving that victory, that free gift, back to us that we could have it and we didn't have to overcome the world. Yeah, hey, think about that. You don't have to overcome this world. I used to think that. I used to think, well, we're supposed to be overcomers. No. No, Jesus overcame the world. He said, in me is the peace. All I got to do is be in Him and I'm in peace. He is my peace. But when it comes to prosperity, no, Pastor, that's a different bird. You're not going to prosper if you don't tithe. Well, show me that in the Bible, in the New Testament especially. Well, what about Malachi? I think, you know, Malachi, they just misplaced it. It should be in the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. Me as a pastor, I think it should be in the New Testament. That way you little believers wouldn't have any excuse except the tithe. That would cut out all your excuses. There's a church in Denver right now. They're promoting and pushing in their congregation that Malachi was put in the wrong book, in the wrong order. It's supposed to be in the New Testament. Well, I tell you what, these pastors, they'll go to any extent to get money off you. Now, I'm going to take an offering here in a little while. But we're going a little different direction than what they're going. I'm not going to be caught in no works. I'm not going to be caught in no law. There is tithing. There is sowing and reaping. But we're not going to be bound up in the law that, for one thing, it doesn't do you any good or me any good if we're bound up in the law of tithing. If we're bound up in the law of sowing and reaping. So we think that prosperity is a little different bird, but first he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. This prosperity will be added unto you. That's basically what he's saying. And then concerning the law of tithing, what do you get from it? What do you get from a law that binds you up? Well, you get nothing because you've been redeemed from any curses of the law. Any part of the law back there, the Mosaic law, you've been redeemed from it. Because if you don't consider yourself redeemed from it, you're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ because He came and paid the price and fulfilled the law. Well, okay, now I'm just going to, you know, my wife, you know, she loves me, and we'll go home, and she'll still love me, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what her thinking was on this. Okay, Charlie, you're right. You're right. We're redeemed from the law, but tithing was before the law. Abraham, Melchizedek, tithers. Tithing was before the law, Charlie. You can't ignore that. You're right. Except that this, that Abraham seen only a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ and only a glimpse of what you and I are to have. And Jesus came and He not only fulfilled the law, but He fulfilled everything and anything that Abraham seen. And let me tell you something. I'm free of that Abrahamic covenant. I'm a son and a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put me under your covenant. I don't want it. You know why? I got a better deal. You stay in that covenant all you want to, but I've been proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ as a joint heir to anything that He has received from the Father. Everything that the Father has is mine, and now I give it unto you. I'm free from that covenant. See, you're no longer under that covenant. You're now a joint heir. You're a son and a daughter of God. And it's time that we start to act like a son and a daughter of God. It's time that we forget those covenants. It's time that we forget those laws and begin to act like what we may not be walking in it, but the least we can do is begin to act like what's been given to us. Now, you can take that the wrong direction. But we're going to cover that, too. I'm not going to let you off the hook on that, either. Well, I'm a son and daughter of God, so I can heap up on my flesh all pleasures. No, you can't. Naughty, naughty, naughty. You can't do that. But I've been redeemed from this covenant, or this law, and the covenant has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham seen only a glimpse of was what to come, and Jesus fulfilled it, even that covenant. So we're a son and daughter. And it's by the grace of God that He took on our poverty. This is part of our inheritance. Just like salvation is a part of our inheritance, being filled with the Holy Spirit is part of our inheritance that some are ignoring and, you know, and ignoring the fact that it is part of our inheritance. Healing, you know, deliverance, all part of our inheritance that's been given. Whatsoever be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever's being done in heaven, however it is in heaven, that's what God intends for it to be here on earth. Just like the Garden of Eden was a reflection of heaven until Adam fell. Well, He wants the earth restored back to the Garden of Eden. And so heaven is your model. Whatever happens in heaven, whatever He deems in heaven, so be it done here on earth. Well, do you think that you'll be crippled up there in heaven? Do you think you'll have cancer in heaven? Do you think you'll have diabetes in heaven? Do you think you'll have disease in your organs in heaven? I think not. Well, if He deems that in heaven, what do you think He desires here on earth? Are you going to be in lack up there in heaven? Are you going to lack some food up there in heaven? Are you going to have a way to get around? Are you going to, you know, are you going to be in need of a new car? I don't think so. In fact, you're going to have a lot better transportation up there than what you got here on earth. So be it here on earth as it is in heaven. Boy, I've seen them excuse that away. I said, well, you know, Philip, you know, he was translated, Sherry was, but, you know, that was a different deal, you know. And to think that we could be dead to the point of Jesus using us and translating us from one place
to another to that's not going to happen, you know, because those things don't happen anymore. Oh, do you believe in miracles? Oh, yeah, I believe in miracles. Do you believe in healing? Oh, yeah, I believe in healing. Do you believe in preaching the gospel? Oh, yeah, I believe in preaching. But don't you believe in being translated? No, that's not going to happen. You know, that was an exception. Well, maybe it doesn't happen all the time, but then you know what? I don't run into too many dead people all the time either that are willing to go to the ends of the earth to see that Jesus is proclaimed. I see a few that have a good talk, including myself, but I don't see too many that are dead to the point that God can use them because of their doubt and unbelief being dead, and they're believing in God and trusting in God to the point that He can do anything He wants with them. I don't see too many in this congregation that way, including myself. But see, whatever is done in heaven is the way He wants on earth. There's no lack in heaven. The Word says there is no lack in heaven, that when you get to heaven, you'll have no lack. Well, what does He intend here on earth? For you not to have any lack, for you to prosper. Beloved, prosper in all things and be in hell. Well, Pastor, why aren't you? I believe. Not really. If you believed, it'd be happening. See, it's the grace of God, just like it is in salvation or in healing. It's that grace that provides your prosperity. There is no other way. It's His grace, a free gift He gave to you, prosperity, just like healing, just like salvation, just like the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's all grace given. It's all gift driven. Grace given, gift driven. I like that. It's all a free gift. If it's a free gift, I sure would like to have it.
Me too. See, He defeated poverty individually and corporately. He defeated it individually in our individual lives. He defeated poverty corporately in this body's life. In the life of this body, of this church here, He defeated poverty. He defeated sickness. He defeated sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you individually. Sin shall not have dominion over this body corporately. To be in lack is sin. To be sick is sin. Now don't take any condemnation on. But it's the truth. To be sick is sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You can be free of it. Don't worry about it. You can be free of it. Just listen. Don't stomp out right now. This is where it starts getting good. Don't stomp out. I love it. I hope you're having a good time, because I am. Man, I hate to have a good time when nobody else is. So it's by His grace that He took on our poverty that we'd be free of it, individually and corporately. He defeated it and turned around and gave us that victory that He completed. Just like the victory we talked about in Matthew 4, where He met the devil up there and defeated him in the mind area, the emotions, defeated him in the flesh, defeated him spiritually, spiritual deception and so forth. He defeated him in all three areas, spirit, soul, and body. See, God wants you to prosper in every part of your life, spirit, soul, and body, that He may find you blameless, spirit, soul, and body, when He returns. He defeated the devil in every area. Then He turned around and said, everything the Father has given me, in John, I believe, 16 or 17, He turned around and said, everything the Father has given to me, now I give it unto you. So everything that Jesus gained, every victory, every defeat of the enemy, He turned around and said, here's the victory. I give this unto you. This is my grace that you have this gift. This is free. Esther, you can have this. I defeated poverty. Now, since I defeated poverty, then that means that there will be prosperity. And so, Esther, here, I give you this free gift by grace. I'm giving to you prosperity.
no longer do you have to be in lack of any area, spirit, soul, and body that it encompasses, because I'm giving you this prosperity, this free gift. It's yours, Esther. You can have it. It's free. You can have it. Don't think you have to work a bit for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Esther, it's free. I give you this. It's my grace that I give this to you. Well, so you say, well, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have it in every area. Well, how do you get saved? See, you have to open up your mouth and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you really get saved? Only believe. Only believe. Well, how do you receive the healing? But remember now, it's already been given. It's a free gift. It's a free gift to you, Doris, for the healing and the miracles. It's a free gift. I give it to you. It's my grace, Doris. You can have this. How do you receive it? Only believe. Well, okay. Glenn, prosperity is a free gift. Now, this is my grace, that you not live in poverty, that you not be in lack in any area, because in heaven, I'm up here with the Father, and we're not in lack up here, but I provided the grace that on earth, you be in the same position as I am in heaven. Everything's going to be given unto you. So therefore, we won't call it any longer prosperity. We'll try to get away from that. Let's call it any lack. Because that's basically what prosperity is. You don't have any lack when you prosper. Okay, Glenn, I'm not in lack up here in heaven. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. There is no lack. Everyone around me, there is no lack in them also. And I deem it the same on earth as it is up here in heaven. So therefore, Glenn, this is a free gift. This is my grace, Glenn, that you have no lack here on earth. That everyone around you may be in lack, but Glenn, this is my grace that I give to you, that you be in no lack. Well, how? It's a free gift, like salvation and healing. How did you get those? Only believe. Well, I don't have it. Only believe. I don't understand. There's nothing to understand. Only believe. But I don't have it. What do you think's wrong? Pastor, I don't have it. I hear what you're saying, but I don't have it. Then you must not believe. Because it's a free gift. It's already given to you. You can't decide. Now, you can decide whether you take a free gift or not, but you can't decide for the gift giver whether he's going to give it or not. And he already gave it. Now, you can decide whether to take a free gift. You get to decide whether to take salvation or not, don't you? Some of us put it off a long time before we said, yeah, I'll take salvation. I'll take that. Some of us put it off a long time before finally we said, okay, I'll take that free gift. And then some of us put off, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the fullness of His Spirit. Some of us put that off. Well, you know, I like this salvation, but I don't know if I want that free gift there or not, because, you know, my brethren, you know, they saying something to the devil. You get to decide. You get to decide about healing. It's a free gift. You can't decide whether Jesus wants to give healing and miracles or not. You can't decide, well, maybe He will today, maybe He won't. No. No, you're stupid. He already gave it. By His stripes, you're already healed. He already done the work. It's already done. By His stripes, you're healed. It's a free gift that you can't make or decide for Jesus whether He's going to give that healing or not. Well, prosperity or lack, absence of lack, is a free gift. You can't decide whether He's going to take on your poverty or not. He already took it on and gave back to you the riches of heaven. It's already decided about that. Now, you can decide whether you will take it or want it.
You see people run around that decided that they don't want to be in absence of lack. They run around in poverty all the time. Can't do anything for the gospel. Can't help the gospel in any way. Can't increase the kingdom of God because they're trying to be holy with poverty. So you get to decide whether you want to take it. But see, the problem is, it's a free gift and all we have to do is believe. But the big problem is, only believe is a hard thing. That's a hard thing. Some of us don't want to admit that we can't only believe. The first step out is to admit that maybe you got doubt and unbelief and you're not only believing. Well, you know, you have us to do these things. You tell us to pray. You tell us to confess. You tell us to meditate. You tell us to fast. You tell us to give, to sow, and to tithe. You tell us to do all these things. Why do you tell us to do all these things if we don't have to do it and it's a gift? Why do you tell us to do all these things? Because only believe is a hard thing. If you can't only believe, you got a sick soul. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, if you're going to have a soul that prospers, and as a result you're going to be in health, and you're going to prosper in all things, then that soul's got to prosper first. So something's got to change, because if it takes only believe, it's a free gift, and all I have to do is only believe, and I'm not only believing, then something's wrong, and I got to do something to change that, that where I'm not only believing to where I am believing. Well, that's where prayer comes in. That's where fasting, that's where meditating, that's where giving comes in. All of that comes into play here. See, tithing hasn't been taken out of the Bible. It's changed covenants. No longer is it a law. No longer are we under the bondage of tithing, of the law of tithing, the curse of the law, where we're cursed if we don't tithe. What it has now become is like everything else. It has become an act of grace. I don't have to tithe anymore. I get to. Why do I get to? Because I'm blessed with this inheritance that is an abundance that is from heaven above. Prosper, beloved, in all things. And since I prosper in all things, now I get to tithe. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I get to sow. Now I get to do this. Why? Because He took on my poverty that I might have back the riches of heaven, which enables me to sow in every area that I want. Sowing and reaping hasn't been taken out of the Bible. Although I will tell you this, for the most part where you find sowing and reaping in the New Testament, it does not talk about money. We'll go into that later, not today. We will cross that and I will show you. Sowing and reaping in the New Testament really doesn't talk about money. I don't like that. It's okay. It's okay. Just don't run out. Just stay here. Don't run out. I'll either convince you on down the road or I won't, but don't run out. Don't face something in your flesh or your soul that you don't like and say, I don't like that roaring lion, so I'm going to turn, hightail, and run. Don't do that. Stay right here with me. Even if I just tear you apart and strip that flesh and just cut you up into small pieces, with your own petty doctrine. Hang with me. If I can hang through a blood slaughter, you can. Yes, and we fast and we meditate the Word of God and we give and we worship God. All of that is to change the direction of this soul, that you can prosper in every area, that you can have this inheritance that's been freely given by the grace of God, and now all you have to do is only believe. And so now you've got to change that. Well, we got these things in the Word of God that we can begin to change. ourselves. We can begin to change our soul, that our soul will begin to prosper. And now since our soul is beginning to prosper through these things in the Word of God, now because of that, we can prosper into all things and be in health. Well, here's the problem that we run into. Let me take this just a little bit farther before I let you go. I knew I wasn't going to get it all in. I never thought I would. But let me take this just a little bit farther. What I see most of all, and what I've seen all along, and not just here, folks, I'm not saying, when I say things, I don't see it just here. Folks, I've traveled around the world. I've been in other churches. I've been in other groups. I've been the route. I've run the gamut. I'm not talking about just here. Everything that we address here really is addressed to the entire body. It really is. But sometimes you'll take it personal. You're sitting there today listening to me. So therefore, it's not somebody else sitting there. You're sitting there, so you're going to take it personal. But everything that we address is basically throughout the body. In other words, I have to address these things to people that gather around me back in Tulsa, see. And then David's part of it. And they look to me, you know, they call up, they ask for tapes, they look to me for counsel. You know, what do I do about this? We get letters all the time, we get requests for the tapes, I need to know what to do about this, what do you think about this? Stuff like that, you know. They don't know at the time that I'm getting cut up by Gary Carpenter. They probably wouldn't write in. You know, but that's okay. See? So we address everything in the body of Christ, you know, and really, even though you're taking it personal right here today, it's getting in on your act, so to speak. That's what I say. It gets in on my act. I have to change my act because it's getting in on it. What's getting in on it? The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God coming together is getting in on my act. Well, that's what's happening today. Some of you will take it personal. But let me tell you what begins to happen. This is what I've seen everywhere, not just with you, but everywhere it begins this way. People begin to walk out of what they're in into prosperity into God, into suffering no lack. They begin to walk out of it, what they're in, into it, into their inheritance. To prosper or not have any lack is your inheritance. They began to walk into it. How did they begin to walk in? They began to make quality decisions. They began to make decisions in order to seek God, find His calling, and begin to serve Him. They began to make these quality decisions. They began to enter into prayer. They began to enter into worship. They began to enter into confession. They begin to enter into fasting. They begin to enter into meditating the Word of God to find out just what is in the Word of God. What is it that I've been missing? They begin to enter into all this. They begin to make quality decisions. They begin to say, okay, I've never given before. I don't know what to give. I can't hear His voice very well because, you know, it takes, you know, a little bit of dying and transformation there to begin to hear His voice. So, I'm just starting to pray in other tongues, so I don't really hear His voice too much. So then they begin to enter into giving, and they don't know exactly what to give. So they start at that starting point. Your starting point, your minimum point of your giving should be tithing. That's just the starting point, folks. Now listen, here's one place I don't agree. There's a lot of different things that are going around the body of Christ. They say, well, the tithe belongs to the local church. Well, first of all, when you do that, you're putting someone under bondage once again. I've never believed that, and now as a pastor, I still don't believe that. It says, bring the tithe, if you go back to Malachi and use that, if you insist on it, it says to bring the tithe into the storehouse. The body of Christ is the storehouse. So tithing becomes a starting point for your giving. It's now an act of grace. So you start to tithe. Because it's your starting point. Now later on, if a tithe is 10%, later on you'll be giving more than that because you'll be hearing the voice of God and it'll change. Now so you begin to tithe. You begin to give some of it here, some of it there, but you begin to give. You begin to tithe. You start the 10% part. And I tell people, they say, well, where do you think I should do it? Where are you getting blessed at? Where are you getting fed at? Then that's your storehouse. Bring it into your storehouse. If I don't bless you, if this church doesn't bless you, then find somewhere that does. And start! It's a starting point. Okay, so they begin to do these things, all of it. Their time. Another quality decision. I'm gonna start using a certain part of my time. I don't know how much. Okay, I'll start with 10%. There's 24 hours in a day. That's 2.4 hours per day. I'll start giving. I'll start tithing that to God. I'll begin to give that to the things of God. 2.4 hours. I'll start. I'll have a starting place there. My time. I'll start doing that. Why? Because my soul's sick. And I want to change my soul and begin to have it to be healed and prosper, that I may prosper in all things and be in health. See? So I'm going to change these things. So they begin. They've been born again. They've been filled with the Spirit. Or maybe like in Junior and Ruby's case, I'm going to use them. They've been saved for a long time and filled with the Spirit for a long time. But then they caught on to these messages and began to change things. They began to make quality decisions and start applying these things. They began to change their soul with decision. And I said, you know, God told me it wasn't, and Ruby, she was blessed by this. You know, God told me it wasn't an answered prayer. It was their walk. You know what was their walk? They walked out of what they were in to begin to walking into some of their inheritance. Now, believe me, they haven't arrived. They got a long ways to go. They got a lot more inheritance, in other words, that they haven't tapped into, and they know that. But they began to walk into their inheritance. It wasn't answered prayer. It was walking into their inheritance. Why? Because of these decisions. And so everybody began, so they began to make these decisions. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they began to stick to it a little bit. I'm going to start giving, so I'll start with that 10%. The pastor says that's a starting place, so I'm going to start right there with that 10%. So they start on that. And then what I see is they begin to walk themselves into the blessings of God. All of a sudden, it seems like that they can do no wrong. Harvest day has come! I don't know whether I sowed and reaped, but if I did, I'm sure reaping. Harvest day has come. I'm beginning to get some of my inheritance in. But then this inheritance that God intended for a different purpose, all of a sudden they take this inheritance and they begin to heap up on themselves material things, a little bit by little bit. Then all of a sudden these things, and this that, well, I hope he's enjoying it. I don't blame him. I'd like to be there with him. Anyhow, what was that? They began to walk into this, but then, because of some of these things, then all of a sudden the devil begins to use it. And so first of all, he starts to steal some time. I don't have as much time as I need. I don't have any time to confess because I don't have as much time as I did. So now, since I'm praying and using that time, I don't confess at all. I don't have time to worship either. And because all these material things are coming my way, all of a sudden they forget about God. What they walked into, applying these principles of giving, and you know, whenever we talk about sowing and reaping, once again, it's not just finances. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. So he made it pretty clear there that sowing was much more than money. And so they don't sow to the Spirit as much as they do. Because, well, God gave me a better job. He really did. And so they go telling all their friends, all their neighbors, God is really blessing me. That's really a good deal. I mean, I started, you know, praying and fasting and meditating the Word. God, in return, He gave me a good job. Takes more of my time. I don't pray like I did. I don't meditate the Word like I did. But God's really blessing me. What they don't know is this. Is that the same thing that got them into where they were at, now not applying these things is the same thing that will get them into something different in the future. All of a sudden, they'll end up in financial ruin or in a bind. All of a sudden, they'll end up in a problem marriage. All of a sudden, they won't even be following their call at all. Why? Because what you sow today, what you do today determines the outcome of your future. Just like what you had today was determined back down the road there with what you've done with the things of God. You sowed into the Spirit back there. Now you're reaping from the things of the Spirit. But what are you going to do in the future if you're not sowing to the things of the Spirit now, and what is happening in the future is determined by what you do now? What's going to happen? Your soul's going to get sick. And all of a sudden, you're not prospering in all things, and you wonder, where did I get wrong? The devil attacked me. The devil attacked me. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You sowed to those things now that cause you to reap other things on down the road. So then they slack off on their giving. See, whenever you get blessed, let's say you start out, you know, you start out in the things of God. I mean, you know, takes you around and you start getting blessed. You decide, man, you know, I'm giving. I started that starting point. You know, I'm starting to hear God a little bit now, but I started that starting point of giving 10%. You know, I started there at that level there. Now I'm starting to hear God a little bit. Well, what you should be, as God blesses you, you should be increasing off of that 10% because He's increasing you in your ability to hear and increasing you in your blessings because of you walking into your inheritance. But what most people do, they not only stay the same where they're at, they begin to go backwards. Now all of a sudden they're not even given what they were when they started out before they started getting a blessing. One more trick of the devil. One more design and plan to take you out on down the road. See, all he's after, folks, every one of you in here, all he's after is stopping you from finding out the call of God on your life and stopping that plan that you never completed. And so, some, they'll begin to, well, I'm slack off on my giving, you know. Well, you know, I'm making more, I'm getting more, but, you know, I've got more material things, so I got to take this. I got to rub from Peter to pay Paul. So then they start moving this around, and God gets last. He always gets last. I said the flesh was going to come off. He always gets last. Started out, we put Him first. We started walking in the blessings of God, and now all of a sudden God gets last. He started out first. We made Him a priority. Kingdom priority. Kingdom-minded. Kingdom priority started out. Now, all of a sudden, it's material-minded. And he gets last. Well, then others, you know, it'll be other things. Bad decisions. You know. Thank God and the kingdom of God and get His mind on direction for my life. They start walking into their call. And they know that they are. They know they're walking in, finally, after all these years. All these years of circling the mountain and making flaky decisions. Now all of a sudden they're walking in to the will of God for their life. And these things, you know, the enemy erodes in on time. Now all of a sudden God gets last when it comes to time. All of a sudden He gets last. He's not first anymore. Now it's back to the flaky decisions. Decisions that take you out of a certain place that you're supposed to be, a certain body. Certain church takes you out of it, this flaky decision that takes you somewhere else, totally out of the picture. Guess what happened? You got neutralized by the devil because you put God last. You weren't very kingdom-minded. You weren't very kingdom-prioritized. So we start out going that direction. We start out going that direction, applying things that cause us to be kingdom-minded and kingdom-prioritized and healing our sick soul that we may prosper in all things and be in health. Then all of a sudden, then the devil takes those things that we begin to heap up on ourselves, whether it be loss of time, extra money, material things, instead of increasing with God and hanging in there, instead of increasing with God, we start taking more of it away from God. Folks, we can't talk about tithing or sowing and reaping if we're taking things away from God and putting Him last. We're not putting Him first. Your decisions about money, what you do with your money, God should be first all the time. That's kingdom-minded. That's kingdom-prioritized. That decision should be made for, well, what if I don't have enough for the rent? Who are you trusting in? What if I don't have enough to get paid? What if I don't have enough for this? I don't have enough for that. You know,
After all, I did get myself into that big house payment.
Who are you trusting? You trusting those material things? You trusting things of the Word? Trusting your job? Or you trusting God? Who is it that you actually trust? Who are you putting first in your thought process? But glory be to God, He gave us this inheritance to increase His kingdom. That's what this inheritance was for. And you don't have to work for it. It was a free gift. Now you've got something that not only will supply every need you got, but you've got something that will help you increase the kingdom of God. Be able to do your part in increasing the kingdom of God. Glory to God. And it's a free gift. You don't have to tithe to earn it. You don't have to sow and to reap to earn it. None of that. It's a free gift. Here it is, Alice. It's yours. Now go and increase the kingdom of God. That's what He's saying. How's your mind today? Where's your priorities at today? Have you organized your finances where God is the priority? Have you organized, most of all, let me ask you this. This is more important than the money. Have you organized your time where God is the priority? And then there's those others, you know, God, you know, Copeland, I like his messages. You know, I like Copeland's messages. And one of Copeland's messages was about those that get the heap up on themselves. God is blessing them. Instead of pouring it back into the kingdom, they build another barn. I remember Copeland's. That was one of the first messages I ever heard from him was about that, where the parable where the guy, you know, heaped up on himself all these things and he filled up one barn. And he said, I'll build me another barn. It'll be a bigger barn. And he said, you fool, this very day, your life is at stake this very night. He was fooled by the riches and by the things that he heaped up on his flesh into building more and stockpiling. Instead of pouring it back into his Lord, pouring it back into the kingdom of God, he stockpiled. Now, I know there's not probably too many here like that right now. Oh, bless me, Lord. I'll bless the kingdom. I want to see the kingdom grow. No, if you can't take what you got right now and cause the kingdom to grow, you're not going to do it when you get more. Because what's in you now will be in you then. You've got to change what's in you now. That when you get to that point that you are receiving those blessings, you won't stockpile it and build another barn and get neutralized. Happens over and over and over. Maybe there's not too many in here. Maybe this doesn't apply, but I tell you right now, it happens over and over in the body of Christ. I've got friends that have been neutralized by that very same thing. What is your priority today? You know, we got one family here in the body. I'm not going to mention any names, but you probably know who it is anyhow. But we got one family here in this body that you would think, man, they're out of the will of God. Look what's happening to them. I mean, they got this and they got that in their body, you know. It's terrible. You know, they must be out of the will of God. Yet, and I'm going by what my wife has told me, yet, per capita of what they've got to give, what they've got to do with, they give more than anybody in this church. I'm saying compared to what they have to give with, they got more to give than anybody in this church. And they give more than anybody in this church comparing with what they got to give with. They must found, well, God, something's wrong. I mean, you know, if they're doing all they're giving. No, this is what they also do. They continue to seek kingdom things, souls, worship, prayer, and now fasting. Guess what? They got the devil's attention. They're worthy of attack. But see, just remember this. You say, well, I don't know whether I want that then. Maybe I don't want to go that route. Yes, you do. Because listen, not only do they have the devil's attention, but they got God's attention also. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, is all I want to hear. Just remember this. You enter into those trials, you're worthy of attack. And that patience that you develop in it will get you through and deliver you to a new degree of His anointing, a new degree, a new level of God working through you. and I don't care about that. Well, then the first thing you got to do is get rid of that complacent, don't care attitude. I just want to be saved and sit here and enjoy God until I go on to heaven. You need to get rid of that attitude. It's not in line with the Word of God. And that's the devil using that to neutralize you. You're not fit for God's use in His kingdom with that. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you weren't fit for use. That's your attitude. The complacent attitude that God cannot use. Well, I don't want to change it. Well, then you need to change the not want to change attitude. I love you. I love you, Pastor. You're my favorite pastor. Hallelujah. Ruby, could you play something soft and get me out of this? I got to have a drink. I got a lot more folks, but he wanted me to introduce them. We got a lot of things to go over. We got a lot of changing to do. I got a lot of changing to do. I don't know how you look at yourself. I know what I hear. I hear the mind of God. I know what direction He wants to go. I know that I couldn't even start this and go this route until we covered some things about hearing the voice of God. It was more important first than to go into these things first. I wanted to go to this stuff first. I wanted to go on to finances, kingdom finances, and giving and receiving all that way back there. I wanted to go into that. And in the natural, you would say, well, you should have. But no, God, He had different ideas. He approaches things differently. His steps are different than our steps. So He wanted to get in on your act a little bit concerning hearing the voice of God and being able to discern it, being able to locate the ear of the Spirit. And we're going to do that again Wednesday night. I got some more on that, but it'll probably wind it up for a while in that area on Wednesday night from what I can see. How about you? I got priorities to change. I got to look at things differently. How about you? You? Well, maybe you don't. You know, I don't know. If you do, you need to admit it first before you can ever change it. Hiding from the roaring lion still makes it a roaring lion. It doesn't change the fact that it's a roaring lion just because you hide from it. My son feels at some point that he's to go the route, you know, of making money. He feels that call. I told him, I said, this message today is probably one of the most important messages you'll hear. Because God has blessed people with that calling. There is that calling in the body of Christ. It's in the Bible. The devil doesn't like that person with that gift any more than he likes a healing evangelist like Benny Hinn. Why? Because if he can stop the flow of finances, he neutralizes a work in somebody's life or in a body's life, corporate body's life. If he neutralizes the finances, he neutralizes all of that work and all of that call. Just lift your hands, begin to worship the Lord. That's it.